Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, thank you very much to Earl Forsing for the latest sports flash. St. Louis Blues continue to lead the Capitals 1-0 early in the second period. Capital One Arena, preseason NHL action. TJ Oshie in the sin bin right now. Carl Hagelin took a penalty earlier. Only I probably care about stuff like this. We're with you until 10. Our buddy Wes McElroy from 910 The Fan in Richmond joins us at the bottom of this hour. Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune on the Bears joins us at 9 o'clock. Earl, let's get back into the phone calls and knock down some of these. My buddy Andre Manassas is with us on The Fan. Dre, good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, you know, I would have thought, you know, the team started 0-3. That would have been shocking to me. But that was before I listened to the Lombardi interview on the Junkies. And now, to me, 0-3 seems like that's what's going to happen.
Wait, because of the interview?
Well, I think I've always felt that way, but to hear someone in the national media say it so succinctly and talked about the culture of the team in such a manner, it really resonated with me, and I realized the reason why the team hasn't won since 14 on Monday Night Football is the same reason why they're gonna lose, you know, this coming Monday, because of the culture. Listen, I'm not necessarily saying I want the team to tank. That's not necessarily what I want, but I think what's, you know, tanking and intentionally is one thing, but tanking unintentionally, which is what I think needs to happen so that the current ownership realizes that his way has no way of winning. I think Lombardi basically talked about that, you know, Dan, the only way this team, this franchise, things are going to change is when, you know, Dan Snyder realizes that his way of doing things will not
work. Let me ask you something, though, about this tanking thing. First of all, Redskins drafted a quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, last draft. The only reason you would want to tank in the NFL, this is not the NBA. You don't get the first pick. You don't get any pick. It doesn't do you much good unless you're looking for that quarterback atop the draft.
No, you missed my point completely. I'm saying that Dan Snyder needs to realize.
Well, I forgot you two like to spar each other.
No, Dan Snyder needs to realize that his way of winning is not going to work. And I'm not saying, like Miami Dolphins, where they're intentionally trying to tank to get picks. That's not what I'm talking about.
I understand, but there's no need to, is what I'm saying. There's no need to. There's no need to tank.
Well, no, there is. Not tank, but when Dan Snyder, like, at the end of the season, when you're 8-8, or, you know, 5-11,
what's the end game, man? What's the end game there? So, okay, the owner wants things to fall apart. Why? Why?
No, it's not that the owner wants things to fall apart. The owner needs to realize in his mind. No, you're not listening to me. The owner needs to understand and realize that his way of trying to do business.
What you're trying to make.
Listen better.
Let me clear this up. I think
how about make your point better? How about be more clear?
Hang on, slow down.
Be more intelligent, a little smarter about the point you're
trying to make. Slow down.
Don't tell me to listen better.
Okay.
You're lucky I'm listening at all. Go ahead, continue.
Hang on, slow down. Everybody get along.
Really?
I think what the overall point is, right, that if they bottom out and go 3-13 this year, 4-12.
At home.
2-14.
Jeez.
Then maybe Dan is so
yada, yada,
irate.
Yada, yada, yada,
okay.
Yada, yada.
All right. Calm down. If they go 2-14, 3-13.
SpongeBob.
If they go 2-14, 3-13, then maybe Dan sees, okay, everything that I've tried here, the entire Bruce
They've
Allen
been there,
era has
Russell.
Been a complete.
They've been there.
Yeah, but they haven't been there since 2014.
So you're going to really suck, and then next year you're going to really. I don't get what Miami's doing either. So you have three first round draft picks.
I think what Andre's talking about is if they're so bad that maybe it forces a philosophical change and a change at the top of president of football operations in Bruce Allen. Now, here's my problem. Okay, you might be.
Why would it force a philosophical change for a guy who has done things? And look, he can do it the way he wants. It's his freaking team. He's making tons of money on it. He owns one of the most valuable franchises not only in the NFL, in all of sports.
Earl, you don't
even
think that
fans who I know it's their team, they Earl, can't tell the owner how to run the team. Earl, if he wants to mismanage or run it different from what you say,
I understand
well,
that. But if they're 2-14 or 3-13, you don't think that's a different taste in Dan Snyder's mouth?
I think it's
than
been
7-9
there have
or
been
eight,
a lot of there have been a lot of embarrassments and humiliating losses and seasons before. I don't think 3-13 or 2-14 is going to make him feel any worse or change the call.
What do you think? Suppose they when they played the Dolphins, if they happen to lose to the Dolphins, I think when you have a team who's intentionally tanking and a team whose mission is not to tank, his mission is to win and make the playoffs, and they end up losing to a team. I think that could have a profound impact.
Things that are worse than that. You know,
I mean, I if they lose to the Dolphins, I don't know if Jay Gruden's allowed back on.
A sea of blue and silver in the stadium on, you know, in your great rivalry game, and you can't put fans in the seats because nobody wants to go. I mean, do you think it's good? Do you think anything's going to change because of a record? Because of a difference of going 7-9, 4-12?
Talking about 25 years. You're talking about 25 years of the same losing after year after year.
I've been around almost, that almost long and then decades. Some. I know.
Yeah, but I don't think
I'm talking about 45 or 50 years total overall in general. I know it's been an embarrassment. It's been horrendous.
Here's the thing that I would say. I don't think they look at the Week 17 crowd last year against the Eagles and the Week 2 crowd against the Cowboys as the embarrassment and the eyesore that many fans and media look at. I don't think that matters as much. I think what matters is if they lose to the if they lose to the Giants, it might be a little bit more acceptable. If they lose to the Dolphins, I think it's all hands on deck. I think
and
there's
what
a
do
chance.
You do? Everybody what are you going to clean fired. House, fire all 53 players?
Well, no.
What
no,
do you
no.
do,
there,
Russell?
Well, you fire the coach.
And then
and
what?
The defensive
it's
coordinator.
The culture. It's just about the culture and instilling a different culture in that building.
Well, that's why you're bringing in all the Alabama players, right? To bring the Nick Saban culture
listen,
and everything.
It's not the culture starts from the head coach. Period. End of story. Not the players. It starts from the head coach.
That was Lombardi's.
It starts higher than that.
Lombardi's main overall point is that Dan needs to completely let that head coach set the culture. And not Dan, and not Bruce.
But Bruce, did
to
you,
let the
so
head
you think
coach completely set the culture.
Didn't work with Shanahan.
I don't think it's changing.
And it's
I don't
never
think it's completely changing. But I do think Dan
the only way
understands
would happen,
a little bit more now than even 10 years ago when he hired
the
Shanahan.
The only way it would happen
that he's got to back off
is with a guy like Saban, bringing someone in like that. Saban, Urban Meyer.
How about Joe Gibbs,
Dabo
part 3.
Swinney. Guess what? That didn't work either, did it?
Well, they made the playoffs 2 out of 4 years.
Well, big deal. Didn't work.
Better than what they have been doing.
Well, you know.
Appreciate the phone call, Jerry.
Being 12th in the ratings is better than being 13th in the ratings, too.
I'm just saying.
Again,
I mean,
for a guy who was brought in who had 3 Super Bowl trophies he put in there, the fact is that didn't work either.
But
with Joe Gibbs as head coach, that didn't work either.
Do you believe that people can ever change and truly change?
No.
A leopard will never
change
his spots.
I don't think you change. You are who you are.
You don't think
I'm speaking of personal experience, but no.
I would agree largely in ways you cannot.
25-year sample size, Rooster. You think it's suddenly going to change because you lose 12 games instead of 9?
Well,
or 10 instead of 9?
Do I expect sudden change and drastic change? No. But can we get subtle change? Can we get more than subtle change? I mean, Dan has changed over the years, I do believe.
But there's also...
I don't think he's the piranha that he used to be.
Heavy-handed owners who succeed. And I know it's been a while, but Jerry Jones is not exactly a guy that just lets coach do what he wants.
No.
He, you know, took over that Cowboys team, guns a-blazing, fired a legend, and won 3 Super Bowls.
But you know what they have? They have a really good personnel department, which the Redskins have.
Led by
have.
Who? His son.
Well...
Steven.
Will McClay is in charge.
And who's
Will
on the
McClay
phone making the picks? Hey,
their college draft.
How you doing, Taco? It's Jerry. It's Jerry. We're going to take you right here, Dak. Dak, it's Jerry. I mean, so don't give me that. It's great. So Redskins have some good personnel people, too.
They absolutely do.
They made some really good draft picks.
They absolutely do. Smith is a really good personnel guy.
And
they need more of that.
And they brought in a personnel guy, and it didn't work a couple of years ago. And all these guys are gone now except Sheriff. Well, who may be gone at the end of this year.
Part of the problem with the personnel guy that they hired was they hired a drunk to work in a building that, you know, I mean, sorry.
I'm just saying, I think it's optimistic to think And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but, I mean, don't they, isn't there always the warning, don't expect people to change?
Listen.
And when you have a 25-year sample size of how you do it, and maybe the reports of he's backed off, look, people change as far as that goes.
You just told me people don't change.
You're not going to be the latest to not let me finish?
Are you going to yell at me like you yell at Andre?
Yeah, if you piss me off, sure.
I'm just,
you know, I'm told you got to listen better. No, I don't. Actually, I don't.
You and Dre are like oil and water.
I'm like oil and water with a lot of people. I prefer to keep my distance from that stuff.
I love what
why
gets
I limit
up.
The calls when I can, because I'd rather listen to intelligent talk. Me. So you may continue now, but I just, what I was going to say
if
is you can
was still
adjust.
Here, we'd get a belly slap
you can
out of
adjust.
That.
When
absolutely.
I said change, I didn't mean, no, I don't think you change, but you
not
can adjust.
Radical change.
No, there's adjustments.
Okay.
There's tweaks
that's fine.
Being made, and
that's
some
fine.
Have done that, and maybe they've done that to some extent at Redskins Park, but.
Can we get more incremental changes if
the
they
only way
out
it happens is if you bring in. The CEO Saban, a guy like that,
right.
A Dabo.
Oh,
and I'm not saying any of those guys will work.
I think that's
work,
very much on
but
the
radar. That's what you really want to do it. And again, you got his entire freaking defense here. Bring him in. Let's see what he's got. Or you got a couple of Buckeyes. Let's bring in Urban Meyer. See what he's got.
Why would people want
him to go to USC now.
Like, why wouldn't Dan be considering that? I think he absolutely would be considering.
I mean, AV, that person sucks too much oxygen out of the room
when
they're in town.
800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get back to the phones. Renee in Colonial Beach. We'll get to you right out of the chute. 800-636-1067 with you on the Fan. All right, my guy Earl Forsey got a little upset. That's all right. It's okay. It happens. Sometimes I lose my cool.
I don't lose my cool. I didn't lose my cool. You guys have never seen me upset before.
No, we've
I'm
seen
an Italian.
You.
I'm a tourist. You've never seen me upset.
So what would you call? What
not
would you call that?
Not even close to being.
Just frustrated?
No, I would call that conversational.
Really?
Yeah.
Good Lord. All this time we thought Pete Medhurst was like going to take revenge out on everyone.
I'm not going to take any revenge out on anybody because I don't care about anybody. What would I need revenge for? I don't really care. Really, I don't.
You don't care about
get
me?
Get over yourselves. I don't.
You don't care about me?
Don't care about your opinions. Don't care about... I don't care. I really don't.
You don't care about me just a smidge?
Hate to say it, Rooster. Probably not. No. Me. Me. That's what I care about.
What about your kids?
Who do I trust? Me. That's who. Who put this thing together? Me. That's who. Chico.
What about your kids?
I love my kids.
What
I care
about your
them.
Wife?
I love my wife, too.
Okay.
But they know how I am. They know how I feel. I think they would not be surprised if push came to shove. Dear old dad did something that was...
A little crazy?
Yeah. So.
Little...
No, it's not crazy. It's just...
It's just you.
It's just who I am. Yeah.
All right. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, you'll have an update
on
the Wizards, right?
Yeah.
I had seen this a little while ago.
Out of nowhere.
And you know, it's funny. Some guys can never catch a break, or maybe it's a lot of the things that perhaps affects the Redskins.
You
when
are
you
what
draft,
you are, like I just said last segment. You know?
Well, also when you draft players or when you sign players that have an injury history, and you expect different results. Yeah. What do they say? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Well, maybe that. So we'll have those details for you coming up in a little bit. Maybe we'll kick that around a little bit later on in the show. Wes McElroy will join us from 910 The Fan in Richmond in about 10 minutes or so. Earl, I wanted to get into this. Daniel Jeremiah was a guest of Chad Dukes earlier today on his shortened show. And he said something about when Dukes asked about Daniel Jones taking over as quarterback of the New York Giants for Eli Manning, he basically kind of led that into a thought on Dwayne Haskins eventually replacing Case Keenum. I wanted to play this back, get your reaction to it, and then we'll get others' reactions to it as well.
Yeah, I would say, you know, that's coming sooner than later, and it's not – it's the same thing with Eli. Like, I don't think Eli was the reason why they were losing football games. He wasn't playing terribly, but I think you come to the conclusion that you're not – probably not going anywhere this year. You want to add something new to the offense and get a look at this kid. I think that's going to be a situation, a decision that Walt Washington is going to have to make. And I think, you know, I personally think Haskins is physically tough, mentally tough. He'll be able to handle some of those ups and downs. And I'd be leaning towards making that decision a little bit sooner than later.
All right. So twice he said sooner than later. I'd, you know, if it was him. Now, remember, Jeremiah is not just a talking head. He was a former NFL scout. He's never been a GM. There were some rumors this offseason maybe the Jets were interested in him, whatever. But, his personnel acumen, right?
I bet he's glad he didn't take that one.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely. But, I mean, listen, the bottom line is his opinion does matter. Now, how much he's watching Case Keenum, I have no idea. He's with the Chargers every Sunday, so he's probably not watching Case Keenum a whole lot. Maybe he's getting...
Or should he give me a Melvin Gordon update?
Exactly. Well, he's not there.
Get him back on the phone?
He's not there. How about that for an update? But here's the bottom line. Do you think the decision to go to Dwayne Haskins over Case Keenum is coming sooner or later? And let's leave it to use his words, because he said it's coming sooner than later.
He's not sitting out the entire season.
Okay.
This is not going to be Pat Mahomes starts week 17.
I agree.
And
but if I said to you it's coming in the next 3 weeks, or it wouldn't come until the final 3 weeks of the season,
no,
what would
I
you
think
say
it would come
likely?
Sooner than that.
Somewhere in between
because
that?
You need to find out what you have for him with him.
Right.
Because if, you know, what we're talking about, if things go really bad and you have a really bad record and a really high draft pick, you better know that you've got the quarterback you want, because you may have a shot at another one. Arizona Cardinals, come on down. That's exactly what they did. They found out
with a new head coach and a new scheme and all that.
Guess what?
Right?
Yeah. DC, baby.
Yeah.
Could be, right?
Yeah.
So you better find out.
Which would, by the way,
be
a disaster. I mean, listen, Kyler Murray through two games so far looks impressive. But to me, if you drafted Dwayne Haskins, number 15 overall, even though you didn't have to trade anything for him like the Arizona Cardinals did to get Josh Rosen, they traded from 15 to 10 and traded a third and a fifth round pick in that year's draft, you cannot be affording to be drafting another quarterback in the first round.
So the natural break is week 10. You would have 7 games to go after that.
Right.
It may not be that long.
That's returning out of the bye for the Jets, right?
Right, for the Jets. Jets, Detroit, Carolina.
I don't think it takes that long.
No, it's not going to be before week 5, New England. You're not.
Here's
you shouldn't throw them. The natural would be, if you don't want to throw them to the Wolves against New England, and if you're 1-4 or 0-5 coming out of that game, Miami, week 6, San Francisco, week 7, before the Kirk game on week 8, Thursday night in Minnesota.
San Francisco's looking at possibly 3-0.
Because you can't do the Minnesota game. That's a Thursday night short turnaround. So it's probably in that window if it's going to happen sooner rather than later as the crockpot.
Let's squeeze in Renee in Colonial Beach before we get to Wes McElroy after the bottom of the hour. What's up, Renee? How are you?
Yeah, you guys about to kill my phone. Hey,
sorry.
Long-time listener. Glad to hear from you finally.
Well, thank you.
Listen, you two are absolutely a comedy show. You need to get a bigger sandbox so it's a little bit harder to throw sand in each other's eyes. The culture of this team does suck, and it does start with the owner, because the last two general managers have absolutely done everything they could to ruin a great franchise. Gibbs, too, would have worked if it had been for Vinny Serrato. And when he put Bruce Allen in there, the legend's son, and let him stay there for so long with such a horrific record, he's just furthered the darkness of the whole franchise. I've been a fan since 1964 when I met Sonny Jurgensen at his house in Mount Vernon. Followed up every had season tickets for years and years. The running game, that's what I want to talk about. Years ago, Alfred Morris with Shanahan was the second leading rusher in the NFL behind our running back now, using the Shanahan zone blocking system.
Right.
Moving all the guys either way. Worked very well with small linemen.
Right.
Alf had 1,600 yards. Very effective.
Right.
When they brought in Bill Callahan, wanted to go to a north-south running system. Okay, they've been unsuccessful since then, and they've got the best, one of the 10 top north-south runners of all time on the team right now, and they won't use him. Last weekend, he had 7 carries. And
why the coach didn't want him on the team. Carries. He doesn't fit. I understand,
the
but he doesn't fit what he wants to do, and you've got a coach who's going to – you obviously have a coach here that chooses scheme over personnel in Jay Gruden.
How's the coach's record?
Not very good. That's why.
Okay.
And some coaches do that. And I don't agree with that. I think, you know, I'm a MacGyver. I take what I got, scotch tape, paper clips, whatever I got, and I try to piece something together. Jay Gruden has shown that he's a coach who chooses his scheme over personnel time and time again.
Here's the thing that I would say, and Renee, I appreciate the phone call. This offensive line, for however much investment they put in it, Trent included, Sheriff, Morgan, they're never good enough.
No.
They get ambushed constantly.
So isn't that a disappointment with Bill Callahan,
yes,
who was brought in to fix it? And
yeah.
I know the track record, but
not good enough.
That's, you know, it's not just players.
No.
Is what it is.
No.
And that's a good topic for maybe another time, because it would take a while and there's no right or wrong answer. There's no way to find out. But is it more coaching than players? And
I think a lot
they've
of fans
added a lot of good players, in my opinion,
yeah,
over the last few years.
I think a lot of fans
years.
Would say it's more coaching than players.
I mean, that's why that change could be coming soon if things don't turn around.
All right, let's get to the bottom of the hour. Flash Earl's got it. Then Wes McElroy from 910 The Fan in Richmond on little Redskins, little Virginia Tech, little NASCAR coming to RIR on The Fan. Welcome you back. Good to have you with us. Caps 1-1, St. Louis Blues, preseason action at Capital One Arena. Joining us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is my pal Wes McElroy, who you can hear in Afternoon Drive. I think I got him. You can hear him in Afternoon Drive on our sister station, 910 The Fan in Richmond. You can follow him at YoWes910, The Fan. And as well, you can listen to him on Saturdays as part of Virginia Tech football coverage, either here on 106.7 The Fan or 99.1 FM. Hello, Mr. McElroy. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm actually chuckling, and PJ can back me up. We're just putting my daughter to bed, and I had to say goodnight, and I said, sorry, honey. I said, I got to go do a radio show with the rooster. And into the phone, PJ can attest to this. She just said, cock-a-doodle-doo. She is the best.
I love her. She is the best.
So she actually now thinks I'm talking to a rooster on the phone. So
that's great. That's so awesome. Man, give her a hug for me. Give her a hug for Uncle Rooster in the morning, okay?
I will.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What a sweetheart. Love seeing pictures and stuff of her. All right, let's get to it. Earl and I were kicking around a number of Redskins things. Daniel Jeremiah, it was when you were on the air, so I'm sure you probably haven't heard it yet. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, was on with Chad earlier this afternoon. He said basically the time is coming sooner than later for Dwayne Haskins to start at quarterback for the Redskins. I argue that if Colt McCoy could ever get out of the trainer's room, that it would be Colt McCoy as long as Jay Gruden's still in charge. How do you see this whole situation playing out? Because one could argue that their 0-2 disgusting start is really not the fault of Case Keenum at all.
If you would have told me 3 weeks ago that Case Keenum would have 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, and over 600 yards, I probably would have told you that they were at least 1-1, maybe not 2-0. I don't think your theory is far removed. If Colt McCoy was healthy and they were going to make a quarterback switch, which right now you don't know why they make a quarterback switch, but obviously the story in New York, an 0-2 start, there's so much weight going into Monday night, which has just been a burial ground for the Redskins is Monday Night Football against anybody. So, what's fascinating to me, and you and I were talking about this yesterday on my show, is right now I think Jay is in Frank Sinatra mode. He's doing it his way. Like, he is all about my way, and I think he's trying to make a statement that if this is how I'm going out on my terms. I'm going out with what I believe is best for the team, and I don't know. I don't know the dynamic. We were kicking this around this afternoon. Like, do you get to a point? Like, what happens if you go 0-4? But if you look up, and Case Keenum's got 14 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, like what? And the front office all of a sudden wants to go toe to toe, and Jay says, "Look, no, I'm not making this move. I'm not making this change to Dwayne Haskins," because then you tell the locker room that it's not about who gives you the best chance to win right now. The problem so far has been the defense. So I don't know what's in store here, and it just adds more intrigue to what happens on Monday night. But honestly, like the next 2 weeks, I think they should beat the Giants. I think they can beat the Bears. I think they could end up being 2-2. At the same time, I could actually end up seeing them 0-4. But to date right now, like the person to go after, the issue, if I wrote my 10 list of 10 things wrong that are with the Redskins right now, Case Keenum is not even in the top 10.
Right. I mean, I think the numbers are a little bit misleading, but he certainly hasn't been the problem. He's missed some opportunities, but he certainly has not been the problem for sure. Wes McElroy, 910 The Fan in Richmond, joining us, listening to him on Afternoon Drives. Of course, radio.com is how you can do that. Or if you're in the Richmond area, of course, at Yo Wes. Wait a second. You have such a long Twitter handle, I screw it up all the time. At Yo Wes 910 The Fan. That's what I and also read him in the Richmond Times-Dispatch, right? And Virginia. You got a lot of jobs, man. You got all the good paying jobs.
Daycare ain't cheap, man. That's why I got a lot of jobs.
Yes, I know that. I want to spin you, just so we hit a bunch of different things while you're with us, I want to spin you off the Redskins. Obviously, I mentioned you were with Virginia Tech football. I know you guys have this weekend coming up off, but then have that Friday night game. I think it's against Duke. I believe that's in Blacksburg, if memory serves me correct. How would you assess these first three games? Because it seems from afar, the loss in Chestnut Hill, a team that got smoked by Kansas last week, which was really surprising to me, and then two tight wins against teams that I know they lost to ODU last year, so a win is better than a loss, but two teams that, you know, people kind of expect you to beat soundly.
Oh, yeah. I think the best word is rocky, because you go back and I thought at the beginning of the year that game against Boston College was so big because you wouldn't really have a feel for this team considering the last two opponents that you played. And, yes, I know the history last year of losing to Old Dominion, but these are two teams you're supposed to beat. Boston College was a 50-50 game. They went up there, turned the ball over five times, had a lot of mistakes that they had last year, did rally in the second half, but the damage was already done. These past 2 weeks, I mean, they have been unimpressive in most areas. And last week, it was darn near a disaster being down double digits at halftime. The tangible things, Chris, there's nothing right now that says to me this season's going to be better for Virginia Tech than it was last year. Mm-hmm. Attitude-wise, this team is different than last year. This team
better.
If
you
that
mean?
Happens, they're better. The attitude is so much better because if this happens last year, if they're down 14-30 Furman at halftime, last year's team mails it in. Last year's team just packs it in. Justin Fuente said, look, he went in that locker room and said, we all can't get it back in one play. They fought, they scrapped, they got turnovers, they got the ground game established. Right now, though, Ryan Willis's play is concerning. He's been shaky. He's turned the ball over way too much. He's taken way too many hits, and you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to finish the season just because of some of the things that he's doing, laying out his body. He's not exactly playing smart conservation football. Running-wise, they got it started a little bit last week. They have a young, talented freshman in Keyshawn King. But this offensive line has gone through a bunch of changes in the past 3 weeks. They've gone through a bunch of injuries. They're technically already now on their third-string center. They're playing true freshmen and redshirt freshmen across the line. Their right tackle just seemed to flake out last week, and they removed him for a freshman. So they're having a problem running the ball. Now, they have a lot of talent on the outside. They have a lot of talent of wide receivers and tight ends, but this offense is not going to fully be maximized until they can run the ball. On defense, they have some good freshmen, good young players that are stepping up on the defensive line. However, you haven't seen that yet with the exception of Boston College, where they got zero pass rush. The past 2 weeks it's been better, but now I got to see it against ACC play. They got an incredible linebacker in Rayshard Ashby. They have some emerging guys in the secondary. They have a talented safety, Reggie Floyd, who's their only senior. So there's a lot of things. And here, overall, the first 3 weeks, you wanted to see this team progressively get better. You've seen it in spots. You've seen flashes. But you haven't seen an incline overall as the team. And now they got 13 days or less than that to clean it up, because they got Duke coming up on a Friday night, and they got a trip down to Miami.
Yep.
I mean, you could be staring 0-2 or 0-3 in the face in the ACC.
I got about 30, 45 seconds left for you. Wes McElroy with us, 910 The Fan in Richmond. I don't know how much personally you get into it, but I love NASCAR at Richmond International Raceway. Under the lights, to me, there's not a better short track in America. Now you're involved in the NASCAR playoffs. Is there a lot of juice for this event this weekend, or has that kind of tapered off like seemingly NASCAR's popularity has over the last, 5-7 years?
I will say this to anybody out there. NASCAR has tapered off. The enthusiasm has tapered off for the past 10 years. However, for people who don't understand the sport is different than the track, and no one does a greater race weekend than Richmond Raceway. Mm-hmm. The track itself puts on a heck of a show. Unfortunately, the sport is suffering, and that hurts the track. But worth your entertainment value for a ticket. I always tell people, if you're ever going to go see one NASCAR in your life, go see a night race at Richmond. Short mm-hmm. track underneath the lights. It's awesome. Really cool spectacle. But unfortunately, the sport, it's just, there's so many problems and so many issues with it right now. It's affecting the business.
Yeah, that's well said. And I don't even know all the problems, but there's plenty of problems. And I know exactly what you mean. And that's, it's sad, because at one point, you know, this was a sport that was soaring, and now it's, you know, I don't want to say it's completely the opposite, but it certainly isn't soaring. My man, good to catch up with you as always. Let's do this again soon. Always a pleasure to hear your voice, and tell that lovely daughter of yours, the rooster says cock-a-doodle-doo right back, all right?
Thank you, Uncle Rooster.
That's my guy, Wes McElroy. Listen to him afternoon drive on the Fan 910 in Richmond at Yo Wes 910 The Fan and Virginia Tech. Hokies Radio Network on 106.7 The Fan and 99.1 FM on The Fan. All right, thank you very much to Wes McElroy for joining us. A little spin around Richmond between, well, not really Richmond. I guess the Redskins, little NASCAR, a little Virginia Tech, kind of bounced around all over the place. Uncle Rooster here.
You didn't talk flying squirrels, though.
No, we did not. No offense to, what's the guy's name down there? Parney, I believe, is his name.
Didn't get VCU basketball like in there market. At all?
No, I didn't do that. I mean, there's only so much time for, you know.
Richmond Spiders?
What are you trying to, I mean, you know, like, you want me to talk, I mean, you know, maybe I could bring on Richmond John. Talk about the Richmond Spiders.
Sure.
Or John in Richmond. Or Richmond John. I saw he wants like a belly slap or something. I tried to do a belly slap. That's more like a Dukes thing. I don't know. Things got testy in here earlier this hour. So mm-hmm. just trying to calm things down, trying to get things back
sitting
to normal.
Sitting here doing a show, that's all.
Earl Forsey is with us as well. We told you about Isaiah Thomas. Earl, did you see this story? I probably should save this for next hour, but I just can't resist, and I'm going to forget it. I know you're fascinated by this. I got an email about this from a source of mine who knows Bruce Allen well, is how I would put it. And he was amused at the bottom line result that Bruce Allen's mansion finally got sold, as you know, we knew it was on the market.
Wow.
He sold it for $3.2 million
awesome.
In McLean, right?
A nice place.
He had originally listed it at, it's been on the market like a half a dozen times over the last 8 years. And it was most recently listed at $3.475 million. He bought it for $3.45. So he took like a $250,000 bath on the mansion price, right, from what he bought it to what he sold it for. Plus, obviously, you have real estate fees that you have to pay, a real estate agent fees. So Bruce lost quite a bit of money on this particular mansion. It's kind of, does that
no,
do anything for you? Does that signify
stuff. You care
anything?
About that? I don't care about any of that stuff. No.
It doesn't signify that maybe he's
thinking about
getting...
Tom Brady's house is for sale in New England.
I know
that too, right?
I know. And that became a little bit of a story. It doesn't say anything?
No.
No?
Just
doesn't make you think that maybe he's trying to grease his skids for a departure, or, you know, or he's tired of being here?
I don't read anything into any of that stuff.
All right. Okay. I thought
in the grand scheme, it doesn't mean much of anything.
You mean Bruce being in charge or Bruce selling his mansion?
The selling of the mansion.
Okay.
Let the guy do what he wants to do with his house.
Okay.
I don't care.
I mean, I'd still take $3.2 million from my house. I mean, could you imagine getting $3.2 million for your house and having that be a loss? Right?
No.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. I mean,
I'm sure, any capital gains.
Yeah, no. I'm sure the mortgage payment on that thing was what? What would you guess the mortgage payment every month was?
I couldn't go that high.
What would you say? Probably $20,000 a month, somewhere in that range?
I guess.
Something, right? If you took
more
out
a
traditional 30-year mortgage, right?
You get a jumbo on that one?
I mean, could you imagine the paycheck that Uncle Dan is selling, is signing over to old Brucey Bruce? Unbelievable. Anyway.
See, but you care about that.
I don't think the average person cares that much about it. I find it fascinating, right?
I don't think it's fascinating.
Do you think the reason why you took a little bit? I know you don't care about
this,
but I'm just going to ask you anyway, because that's my job, is to pick and to be provocative.
You're trying to fire me up again about something.
Exactly.
It's not going to work.
Do you think that the reason why he took a bath on it is because he's Bruce Allen and because people don't want to live there because Bruce Allen lived there? Or do you think that's just the byproduct of the real estate market?
Do you think, for the most part, anybody knows or cares who's selling the house? And something like that?
I think some people do care about that sometimes. I think they're, you know, like if they go visit a house and the owners happen to be there and the house is sloppy or the house is, or the people happen to be there and they're kind of weird or strange, that might turn some people off.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if you're a diehard Redskins fan.
I would love someone to come into my house and be turned off by me and my house.
Yeah.
Go find another place.
You'd be like, go
get the
rocks,
hell
right?
out. Yeah. I've never understood that either.
Are you a clean house person or are you a messy house person?
Well, that would not be. I personally am a fairly neat person, but when you have kids and things go on. And
right.
Not as neat as I'd like, but no, for the most part, things are in general. Decent order,
right?
Around
you're not a Chateau like Forsay. A lot of men are pigs, sloths.
No, I'm not a pig.
They don't like to see. Same here. I'm not saying I'm the neatest person in the world or the most organized person in the world.
I'm a hoarder. I like keeping things.
Same thing with me.
But too much at times.
I have to force myself to throw stuff out. But I will tell you this: I'm constantly tinkering and cleaning and organizing and picking crap up and whatever, and it drives me crazy.
You think I'm a sloppy person?
Well, I mean, my handwriting is very sloppy. I'm not that much of, but yeah, your handwriting is pretty neat. What do you got over there? Little Cubs red scoreboard.
Yeah, I've got blank scoreboards to fill them out because I'm keeping an eye on baseball tonight because we could have a. The collar's getting a little tight in the NL wildcard race, although the Nats are getting help tonight. A little bit of help tonight so far.
You'll have the update on that coming up
Bryce
in a couple of minutes.
Bryce is going deep for Philadelphia. The Braves, by the way, they win tonight. They clinch at least a tie for the NL East title. Their magic number's two, so.
Clinched a playoff spot here in D.C., so.
That's just about over. Now it's down to the final 11 games in 10 days.
Nationals night off tomorrow night. In Miami,
and we don't know about Davey Martinez.
No,
Jesse.
I think that's the least of their. The least of their concerns right now. But
it's
maybe
be
if Davey returns,
though, with everything happening, you know, that was kind of a weird deal.
Yeah.
And not a lot of even the guys in the dugout.
Right.
I mean, Adam Eaton was talking to Chad yesterday and said that he kind of didn't notice that Davey was gone from the dugout until it was like the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And then he's thinking, "Hey, where's Davey? You know what happened?" And then they all kind of knew generally what was going on and.
I didn't even know because I was watching the Redskins Cowboys game and I was so dialed into that I didn't even know what happened.
Jesse Docherty in the post yesterday and writing up the story with this whole, you know, the better report on his health that he's back home, he's resting and that he needs to be cleared, and the general, you know, thought on that was probably 2 or 3 days, hopefully, until he gets cleared, which would be possibly in time for this weekend to head down to Miami. We'll see. Nothing definitive on that otherwise. It's Chip Hale still in the dugout, you know, running things until Davey gets back.
We probably won't find out until Friday afternoon when the clubhouse opens. 800-636-1067. Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune joins us next after a top of the hour Earl Forsey Sports Flash.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.